Begin the card daf Masech the Baba Basra daf Kuf Mem Test. We begin on the fourth line down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous daf. And as we were discussing the halachas of our previous Mishnah of Matna Shchimra regarding the gift of a dying person. So we said that if he gives it all away, so then when he dies, it's going to be given. But if he survives, it's going to go back to him. Then the Gemara asked related conversations regarding, let's say he does something else. He doesn't give it away to an individual, rather gives it to Hektish, his mafke is nechasim, if he gives it to Aniyim. Now the Gemara continues in a related discussion, what's his macher kanachasim ma? What's halacha? He doesn't give it away to someone else. Rather, he sells all his assets to someone else. What's the halacha? Would we say that over there also that if he survives, he gets it back? Or that no, he didn't give it away. He sold it. If he sold it, it's a sale, even if he's going to survive. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, he said, you're right, if he survives, it doesn't go back to him because it's not a gift. It's not something that like, oh, what are you going to do? You have all that money that you got. That is a sale, even if you survive. Not with Zimnan on Rabbi Yehuda Marav, but actually at times, Rabbi Yehuda Marav had said that imamat chayzer, that if he survives, it does go back to him. So says the Gemara, actually, b'lei pligi, that's not a machlekes. Ha, the isnahu lezuzi be'enayu. When did we say that it goes back to him? Is if he still has the money around. Now, why did he leave the money around? Because he was telling himself, if I survive, look, I think I'm going to die. I don't need the assets. The money is easier for me to dispense. But if I survive, I'll just give him back the money. I'll get my assets back. So the fact that he didn't use the money tells us that it was only with that intention. And if he survives, he gets it back. Ha, de parinu b'chayvai. When we said that if he survives, it doesn't go back to him, is when he used up the money to pay his debts. That we see that either way, he wanted to pay up his debts, and he said towards the end of his life, he wanted to take care of that. So, but it was for that intention, and therefore, even if he survives, the money will, the sale will not go back to him, and it's a valid sale. Now, Ibayu the following question: regarding a dying person that admitted, in other words, he said by his illness that that field and that money that's mine is really belongs to that person. Now, although we always had known that these were his properties and they were not that person's items. Now, in spite of that, he says, I admit it's that person's. So, Ma, what's the halacha when this guy's admitting it, that it belongs to other people? Do we say that he's only saying that not to satiate his sons, that they should think, what? We thought we were inheriting all these things, that they're going to have to start working hard? Or do we say that, no, he actually, he's not just doing it to play on his kids' fears that they should work, but he really wants to hold on to it. No, he admitted, and it's going to go to that person who he said, even though we know it's his, he says, no, it's that person's, and it's going to go to that person. Says the Gemara, Tashma, come in here, will prove in the following incident, which the conclusion of the Gemara will be, that his admission is a valid admission, and in halacha, it's going to go to that person, and it's not going to belong to his children anymore. The proof is from the Issigiera. This refers to, his name is Isser, who is a convert, who cohabited with Rachel, who is the daughter of the Amori Shmuel, and he cohabited with her before he converted to Judaism. Now, during that cohabitation, he impregnated her, when he was still a guy, with Rav Mari, who was the daughter of Rachel. Now, after that incident, then he went and converted, and then after that, his son Rav Mari was born. Now, this Rachel was one of the daughters of the Amori Shmuel, who was taken into captivity, as the Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Now, so this Isser, the Ger, Havali Tracer Alfi Zuz de Bei Rav. He had 12,000 Zuz that was by Rav's house. Now, Rav Mari Berei, Isser's son Rav Mari, Hayrase Shalei Begdusha Belei Dase Begdusha Havi. As we just explained, his conception was not in holiness because his father was a non-Jew at that time. But by the time he was born, his father was already a Jew. Now, moreover, Ubei Rav Hav, at that time, Rav Mari was not home with his father. He rather was in yeshiva of Rav. Now, Amar Rav, Rav said as follows: Heichen nikninu Rav Mari lahani zuzi. How exactly will Rav Mari acquire these 12,000 zuz that I have from his father Isser before his father passes away? There's no way he could acquire it, and therefore, essentially, what Rav was saying was, I'm gonna acquire and merit in them, because since Isser is a ger, the halacha is when the ger passes away, who has no relatives, because Rav Mari, as we're sure going to explain, is not a relative in the sense because he was conceived by him when he was still a non-Jew, his assets are hefker. And therefore, since I'm in possession of it when he passed away, I'm going to be the first one, and I'm going to take possession of it, and not his son Rav Mari. As Rav proceeded to explain, Ibi Yerusha, if you think that his son Rav Mari is going to get it through inheritance, la ba Yerusha haba. It's not true. He's not someone that could bequeath, because since He's a child of him when he was a non-Jew. The children of a non-Jew are not, they don't have the title of a child to inherit their father. Ibn Matana, if you think that his father Israel will gift it to him, but not Nashimra ki Rusha Shavir Rabbanan. The Rabbanan qualified the gift of a dying person. Although he said that it's unique halacha that a Shimra could gift something away without a kinyan, but the Rabbanan qualified that in the medium of the laws of inheritance, which is just like when someone dies, it could go automatically without a kinyan. So that's how they modeled that halach of Shimra, which is the same idea, someone that's passing away, and will give it to someone else without a kinyan. As actually, as we learned out, these halachas, according to those who hold it's biblical, also from that same concept. So therefore, kalhecha di isi b'yerusha isi b'matana, wherever you have someone that qualifies for the laws of inheritance, then he qualifies for the gift of the dying person. But kalhecha de lesi b'yerusha, wherever you have someone that does not qualify for that, like Rav Murray, who him and his father don't have that qualification because we're talking about someone that was conceived when his father was a non-Jew, so lesi b'matana. So therefore, he does not qualify for the gift of the Matna Shchimra because it does not qualify for the laws of inheriting his father. Ibn Mashicha, and if you're going to say that his father will just, that Rav Meir will draw it from his father, he'll give it to him, but less nugabe. But he's not by, meaning the money is not by Isser to hand it over to have his son Rav Meir do Mashicha on it, that he should be able to give it to him because it's by me, says Rav. And Ibn Khalipin, and if you think it's going to work with Khalipin, which is you don't have to even give over the actual item, you could just have him hand over a kerchief, which is a Kenya Sudr, and then they both acquire the object wherever it is. But Eimat Beinit Nikna B'Khalipin, the problem is that we're talking about the subject here is money, is coins. And money, as the Gemara explains in Perek HaZav, and B'Metziyah, and B'Metziyah, cannot be acquired through the medium of the Kenya B'Khalipin. And Iag of Karka, and if you're going to say that it's going to work, that Isser will be able to acquire to his son Rav Mari the money that's by Rava, by through the dint of giving him a piece of land, which as the Gemara says in the first parak in Kedushin Chavav Med Aleph, which we learn from a pasuk that where it says that the gold and the silver he gave to him with, meaning through the fortified cities, which is in Judea, that you can be maknet to someone metaltlan agav karka, but the problem is less le'ara. Isser doesn't have any land to go ahead and be makna the money that's by Rava to his son Rav Mari. And Ibn Maimich Lashton, and if you're going to say that Issa will do it through what's called the presence of all three of them, where if you're going to have me, Rava, and Issa, the father, and Murray, the son, together, which that's the one who's holding the deposit, and the depositor, and the one who's receiving the gift, then even just with words that will acquire. But Ishalach Lila Azlina says, Rava, if he's going to send for me, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go to Issa, because then I might lose, because then he might do this Maimish Lashnami. So says Rava, he has no way to give it to his son, Rav Murray, and therefore, when he's going to die, I'm going to be the one acquiring these 12,000 zos. Now, however, Maskevla Rav Ikar Bered Ravami, Rav Ikar, the son of Ravami, asked to Rava, Amai, why is it that you're thinking that there's no way that Rav Mari could merit in these monies of his father that you have by you? But Veloidi Isser, let the father Isser admit, which is the halacha we're talking about, the Halin Zuzid Rav Mari, that these monies, they belong to Rav Mari. Veloknin Baidisa. And then Rav Mari will acquire it with the admission of the dying person. Says the Gemara, Adahachi, in the meantime, meaning once this claim was mentioned in the Beis Medrash, so the word got out, and they taught Isser this Taina, because all these things that Rabbi were saying are all halachas, and nafakadisa mebe Isser, and then they heard shortly that Isser's household had mentioned that Isser admitted that this money belongs to his son Rav Mari. Says the Gemara, Ikbed Rabbi, Rabbi was particularly, he was upset, he said, kamigmri tainasal inshi, they're teaching claims to people, which we were discussing in the Beis Medrash, umafsidli, and thus causing me a loss, where I could have merited, but now they taught him the one claim which most people would not have thought of because of what was mentioned in the Beis Medrash, and now I lost that money because of that. Now the Gemara continues on Beis, continuing to explain the halach of our Mishnah, that we said regarding the Matna Shchimra, if he doesn't give it all away, rather Shire Karko Kolshu, he leaves over a little bit of land for himself, so as we explained in the previous stuff, Matznose Kiyemes, so it's a valid gift even if he survives, because that's only if he gives it all away, which is the presumption is, oh, okay, only if he dies, but if he survives, he gets it back. But if he's leaving over land for himself, obviously he's considering the option of if he's going to survive, and still he's giving it away, so therefore it's a valid gift even if he survives. On that aspect, more of a comic culture, how much is a small amount of land that we're saying if he holds on to that, then if he survives, their gift is still going to be valid. So I'm Rabbi Huda Marav. He says, Karka kadei parnasasi, enough land that he could use to support himself, to sustain himself. If he leaves it with that amount of land, then obviously he's considering the options of the gift being valid, even if he's going to survive. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar, he says, metaltlin kadei parnasasi, even if he leaves over just even movable items, enough to support himself, then everything else that he gave is going to be a valid gift, even if he survives. Now, on that, Amar Rabbi Zeira, it says, Kama Mechavnin, how precise, how well thought out are Shmaitz Desabi, are the teachings of these elders, where they explain that although the Mishnah said the words Kol Shehu, it meant enough to support themselves, which one opinion said that it has to be land, and the other one said even if it's movable items. Why? Because Karka, regarding land that you could support yourself, Taima Mai, why would the reason be of the halacha of a Mishnah that he leaves over land for himself, that would be considered that he's leaving over something for himself, that therefore he's acquiring the gift to that person who he's giving partially, that it's going to be valid even if he's, that the ikoi, that if he survives from his illness, that samachala, that he's thinking that, okay, I could rely on that. And therefore he was giving the gift with that intention that even if he survives from his illness, I still want it to be, I think I'm going, but just in case, look, I left over something for myself where I could support and provide myself. So if that's the case, so metatlan nami ikoi. So that's why the other Amir said the same thing is by movable items too. That if he survives, samech levai, he'll be able to support himself with that, and therefore that's the logic behind the halacha, and therefore it's not necessarily just a minute amount. It would be at least enough to support. And moreover, it wouldn't be just karka, it would be even by movable items. That mask of Rabbi Yosef asked to Rabbi Zeira, "Umay kavanasa? And how exactly are you saying that they're so precise in their reading and the rationale of this halacha?" To the contrary, says Rabbi Yosef, these two amiram were not precise in what they had said. They're incorrect. Madam and Metalin, the one that said that you could even, it's considered that he held on to something for himself, was movable, but karka tanan, how could you say that? The words in the Mishnah are land. And moreover, man d'amar kadei parnasasi, the one who says that, which both of them said that idea, that it's enough to hold on to, even if he's saying it's land, but it has to be something that's enough to support himself. But kol shehu tanan, how could you say that? The Mishnah says, even minute amount. So Rabbi Yosef disagrees with both amiram. He says, no, it has to be land, and it could even be a minute amount. It cannot be medallon, and neither does it have to be kadei parnasasi. On that, Amalei Abayi asked Rabbi Yosef, he says, wait a second. And he asked on both points Rabbi Yosef. What, b'chol heicha d'tani karka, do you think that wherever we learn in the Mishnah the word land, karka dafka has to be specifically land? But v'atnan ulin, the Mishnah Masechtas Peya, that says as follows, ha'kesef kol nechasav la'avd, if someone writes over all his assets to his slave, so the halacha is yatzei ben chayrin, so he goes out as a free man, because all his assets includes the slave himself, so it comes out that the master was makta to the slave everything, meaning the body of the slave himself to himself, with all his assets, and therefore he goes free and he becomes a wealthy man because he gets everything. But, says the Mishnah, Shaya Karka Kol Shubuf, let's say the master holds on, he's giving everything to the slave except for a small piece of land. Meaning, he says, Chutz Mikarka Hosha, I'm going to give you my slave everything except for a small piece of land. And that, says the Mishnah, actually he gets nothing. And Lo Yotze Mechari, he doesn't even go out as a free person. The reason for that is because in halacha, a slave is compared to land. As the pasuk says, when it talks about slaves, it says, v'snachaltem, that you should bequeath, that you inherit, it compares it to a piece of land. Now, therefore, when the master said, I'm giving you everything but a small piece of land, you could say that was referring to the slave who's compared to land. So it comes out that he's not even a free person because he's still holding onto the rights of the slave, and therefore he didn't get his assets either because kamaster kana eved kana rabbi. So the slave gets nothing and he doesn't even go free. Now, the same thing is, if the master would have said, I'm giving you everything except for this small little movable thing, as Rebbe Elazar is going to shortly explain, because a slave is also compared to movable items. Because maybe when he says that he's leaving over this small movable thing, it refers to the slave, which is also movable. Because although he's like land, but he's also movable, he's mobile. Now, however, yes, if the master would say, all my assets are given to you, my slave, except for that field, well, then he would be free, because a slave is definitely not that field. But we're talking about when he says generic, he says, but a small amount of land or a small movable item that then I'm going to hold on to, then he doesn't go free. Shimon, I mean, he disagrees. He says, no, la'olam hu ben chayrin. No, if the master, just as the Tanakam had mentioned, left over just a small piece of land, then the slave will go free, because he left over land and not a slave. Because although in halacha a slave is compared to land, but he's not a piece of land. So if he left him just a piece of land, the slave would go free. Ad, says Reb Shimon, until where what he's leaving over for himself was unspecified in the sense where Sheyemer, where the master says, Kol nichsay nesunin l'ploin li'am, all my assets are given to that person, my slave, chutz mi echad mi ribishabhen, besides 1/10,000 that's in my assets, where that echad mi ribuy, then that could be going on the slave, and then he's not going to be freed, and he's just writing something that the slave should feel good, where that's how much I like you, where I'm giving you everything, but essentially he's not acquiring anything because he's holding on to the slave himself. That's how Reb Shimon disagrees with the Tanna Kamma. Now, but as we continue, Tabu Kuf Nunam and Aleph, says Abaya, to explain this question of Yosef, the Amr of Dimi Bar Yosef Amr Balazar, that he said an explanation of the opinion of the Chacham, the Tanna Kamma, in that Mishnah, that although the Tanna Kamma had said that if Shayer Karka Kol Shehu, that if he leaves him a small piece of land, that then, not like Reb Shimon, then Lo Yotze Ben Chayrin, then the slave is not going to go out free, says Reb Elazar, the same thing would apply that Asu Metatlin Shir Etz Lebed, as we had mentioned in passing before, that they said the same thing is regarding that movable items will also be considered a remnant to hold on to the slave. In other words, if let's say the master says that I'm giving you everything except for a small piece of a movable thing, that a slave is also considered like a movable item because he's not attached to the ground, and people call a slave a movable thing because he's mobile. So therefore, that would also be included in the exception of the slave not going free. So says Abaya to Rabbi Yosef, so you see that even though the Mishnah used the word karka, we see from Rabbi Elazar clearly that it's not specifically like that. And the same halacha would apply even to movable items. And therefore says Abaya, then what's your difficulty, Rabbi Yosef? Our Mishnah is the same thing. Although it says that he holds on to karka kolshu, it could be not only karka, it could even be metatlin, as long as it's something that he can provide for himself, just like the halacha is regarding land, that is enough to provide for yourself, it would be the same thing regarding metatlin. Now, he just finishes off that teaching, but although that the Reb Elazar says that they made metatlin a shear, that it's being left over regarding the laws of a slave, but v'lei osu metatlin shear etzel k'suba. However, they did not make holding on to a movable item regarding a remnant regarding the laws of a k'suba. What that refers to is that the Mishnah teaches over there, Masechtas Peyem, and actually we taught this on Kof Lamed Bezim and Aleph, that the Gemara brings it and explains it, that if someone writes over all his properties to his sons, and he writes that his wife should get a small piece of land, says the Mishnah, that then she loses her rights to her ksuba. Now, there are those who explain the halacha is because it was Toma where she was silent. And if Nachman explains, since the husband made her a partner amongst all the sons in sharing the properties, albeit just giving her a small piece of land, which is even could be less than her ksuba, she loses the rights to her ksuba because with that piece of land, that small land that he left over for her that he didn't give to the sons, she was meichel ksuba. Now, it's on that that Reb Elazar is saying, but that's specifically only if he left over for her a small piece of land. But if he left over for her and wrote to her a small piece of a movable thing, then she does not lose her ksuba. And the reason for that is because the primary ksuba is collected from land and not from movable items, as the Gemara explains himself to ksubas, and therefore she relies and she's confident for her ksuba only from land. And therefore they did not make metatlin a shear, a remnant, what he's leaving over for her, in regards to the laws of ksuba. In other words, if the husband leaves over for a movable thing and he gives it to her when he's dividing the assets amongst all his sons, and he writes for the wife a small movable thing, then that she wouldn't lose her ksuba because that's not mechila, because she doesn't think that's taken away from ksuba, because her ksuba she usually collects only from karka. But one thing is that we see from Abaye's question from the first part of Reb Elazar's halacha is that although the Mishnah said karka, we see from Reb Elazar that it could even refer to metatlin. So what are you asking on these amiram that it's so difficult that the Mishnah says karka and it means metatlin too? So on that, Reb Yisrael responds to Abaye, he says, no, truthfully I would tell you that wherever it says karka, like my question was, it means karka, it means land, and it does not mean also metatlin. But Hasim over there, by the laws of that Mishnah regarding the slave, the reason why there, yes, as we see from Allah, it was Lav Dafka, and it even includes Metalin, is because Bedinu Delaylis Nekarka, the truth is, you're right. It should not have said the word land. Rather, it should have said explicitly Metalin, because as Rabbi Elazar explained, the law applies not only to Karka, but even Metalin. The reason why over there it's different is because of Aydi Detana Reish, it's only because since the Reish of that Mishnah Masechta is Peya taught the following halacha, which, as we're going to explain, refers to specifically karka. That's why it says the term karka also in that similar, where I had there's a parallel to the laws of Eved, it also used the term karka, but it also refers to metatlin. But if there's no other reason why I would say karka, it means only karka. As Rabbi Yisrael explains, the Reish of that Mishnah says over there, Bikiba, I mean, he says, karka kalshu, a small piece of land, already has the following halachas. Chayeves bepeya, it becomes liable in when you're cutting off all the fruits to leave the corn of the field for the poor, or bibikurim, and you have to bring the first fruits of the shivas aminim up to Yerushalayim. V'lichtav aleim prusbul, you could already write in it a prusbul, which is the law of regarding a loan that shmitah should not be meshamedit, which it has to be that the borrower has a piece of land. It could even be a small piece of land. And you could also acquire items, meaning movable items, together with this piece of land by doing on the karka a kinyan of money or of a document or of a chazaka, where all these laws apply specifically to land and not to movable items. On that, said Rabbi Akiva, that's even a small piece of land. So says Rabbi Yisrael b'shem Hachi Gatani. That's why the Seifa also, regarding when it talks about Eved, also uses the word of Karka, meaning although yes, the laws of the Seifa applies even by Metatlin, but the reason why it mentions Karka is because the Reisha spoke about Karka. Now the reason why it mentions both those halachas together is because both the Mashir, the word, the concept of Kalshu. So that's why it says the halachas near each other, where there it's Karka Kalshu, and here by the Eved is also if the master holds on to a Kalshu. But it's not specifically, as Rabbi Elazar said, karka. It even refers to matatlin, but there's a reason why we say karka. But if there's no other reason, then we do assume, says Rabbi Yisrael, that it means specifically karka, and not like those Amayram who wanted to say it's matatlin. So that answers Abaye's question on that point. But then Abaye asked Rabbi Yisrael on regarding the other point. This that he had asked according to the one, which is both them, that interpret that whether it's karka or matatlin, the kolshu who means it has to be enough to provide for himself. And that Rabbi Yisrael said, how can you say that? But the Mishnah says kolshu, which is even a minute amount. How can you say that what he's holding on to himself is considered only a shear if it's kedei parnasase when it says kolshu? And that Abaye asked Rabbi Yisrael's question, what, v'chol heicha d'tani kolshu, wherever it says in the Mishnah, a minute amount, less le shear, there's no minimum measurement, it means no matter how small it is? But v'otnan, we learn in the Mishnah, perikwish is agezim sechta skulm, that says as follows. Rabbi Yisrael ben Hirkan esayim, he says, chamesh recheles, five sheep, Gaizes is mono pras, that you shared from each one a worth of a mono and a little bit, a mono and a half. Chayavis bereshis hagez. So that's the minimum measurement of being liable for the matnas kahuna of giving the first shearings to the kain, which is a litra and a half a litra. Then Rabbi Deisa says that's the obligation of reshis hagez, which that, as the Gemara learns over there from Mesil, from it says umechamesh tsoin asuyas, it has to be the minimum of five sheep. And according to Reb Deis, it has to be that each sheep has a mana and a half. The Chacham Aymer, they disagree. They say, no, chamesh recheles geizah is kolshen. Yes, it has to be five, but the shearings of the wool could even be a minute amount. V'aminan, and we said, v'kama kolshen, when the Chacham say it could be even a small amount of each sheep, how much is that? So Amar Rav explained, it's a mana upras. It has to be the sum total of all the five of them. Reb Deis said, each one has to have a mana pras. The Chamu say it's kolshen, it has to be that the sum total of all five of them has a mana and a half. Ubevachi muchamashis, but as long as it's split into five, meaning that each one of them has wool, that's a fifth of a mana and a pras. But less than that, then it would be like it's non-existent. So says Abaye, you see, although the Chamu used the word of kolshehu, it means, but there is a minimum amount. So why are you asking on this opinion that says it means kedei parnasasi, but it says kolshu, but who cares? You see over here in this Mishnah too, it says kolshu, and we explain it means that there is a certain minimum measurement. And the reviewer's response to that question of Abaye too, he says, no. Hasam bedin hu delay listening kolshu. You're right. There also it shouldn't say kolshu, because if it says a minute amount, says Rabbi Yisrael, I hold, and that's why I'm interpreting our Mishnah like that too, it means even just a minute amount. But I did the Kamar Tanakama Shur Rabba, but since the Tanakama, Reb Deisa mentioned a large measurement where he said that each one of those sheep has to have a shearings of a month and a half. So Amar Ihu Nami Shur Zutra, so the Chacham who disagree, they say also a small measurement. So Karilu Kolshu, that's why they call it a minute amount. Even though it's not even a minute amount, meaning it's not anything as small as it is, it has to be that each one has a fifth of a month and pras. But says Rabbi Yisrael, but our Mishnah, which says kol shehu, and there's no reason why it says kol shehu, not comparing to anyone that says a larger amount, there it's specifically as it is, and that's where Rabbi Yisrael disagreed with both of those Amiram, because he held that, actually, to the contrary, loy mechab nishmaitz desabi, he held that's incorrect, since it says karka, unlike Abaye's questions, it has to mean karka, not matatlin, and when it says kol shehu, it means kol shehu, which is no matter how small it is, and it doesn't have to be even kedei parnasas to be considered that he left off something over for himself, and therefore even if he's amad, if he survives, the matana is going to be a gift.